morning. Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are Calvary Presbyterian Church of Enfield, Connecticut. I'm Steve Thayer, pastor. And we welcome you to this time of worship wherever you are and whenever you are watching. And we're grateful that that even though we may be watching in different places, that by the Holy Spirit we are united in worship with one another and with our Lord Jesus. As I said, we are Calvary Presbyterian Church of Enfield, Connecticut. If you would like more information about us, you can go to our website, www.calvaryenfield.org. Therefore, you can sign up for our weekly email newsletter and find out more about what is going on here. There, it is also possible to make a donation to the life and work of Calvary. Although we are not in our building at this point, the life and ministry of Calvary goes on. God is at work. And we continue to depend on the support of our friends and covenant partners to sustain us during this time. If you have a concern for prayer, I would invite you to send that to prayer@calvaryenfield.org. And you can either write it and simply share the concern and someone will pray for you. But if you prefer to have someone pray with you over the phone, simply leave your phone number and a couple of convenient times which you could be reached, and someone from our prayer team will call and pray with you personally. I'd like to remind the members of Calvary family of our virtual coffee hour this Sunday. Would invite you to grab a cup of coffee or tea about 10 minutes after the initial broadcast of this service and sign on by Zoom using the link that was sent to you yesterday, and enjoy a time of visiting and conversation with the Calvary family. As we prepare to worship God, let us come before Him in prayer. God of life, we praise You for the gift of worship. We thank You that even though we are scattered, we are united in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that now, wherever we are and whenever we are watching this, You would send Your Holy Spirit to empower us for worship. Be especially present with those whose lives are filled with trouble, anxiety, loss, or sadness. And as we worship You this morning, may we sense how the gospel is our source of hope. And as we sing and pray and hear Your word, may we find the joy and the peace and the life that comes only from You through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to join with me in our call to worship. In the spirit of worship, we catch a vision of Christ's eternal kingdom. We see our Lord crowned with glory and honor. God has given Christ authority forever in His kingdom that is without end. Glory and praise to Christ our King, who is our faith and our hope. I invite you to join us in worshiping God in song.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy's face. His chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew. to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and
Thank you.
Almighty God, our good and gracious King, we praise you that you are indeed the God of all glory. We thank you that on this first day you began creation, bringing light out of darkness. On this first day you began your new creation, raising Jesus Christ from the darkness of death. On this Lord's Day, grant that we, the people you create by water and the Spirit, may be joined with all your works in praising you for your great glory. Through Jesus Christ, in union with the Holy Spirit, we praise you now and forever. Amen. When we come into the presence of a holy God, our own humanity is laid bare. When we stand in the living presence of truth, our own falsehood is revealed. When we encounter perfect love, the hardness of our hearts becomes all too apparent. People of God, let us acknowledge who we are and ask our ever-present God to forgive us. Let us pray. God of forgiveness, we pray for a new life as we confess our old ways. We hear your promise amid our own sense of self-doubt. Hope is proclaimed, yet we seek guarantees. Christ calls us to obedience, but we set conditions. When called to follow, we ask to what end? Forgive our reluctance to walk in newness of life. Grant us grace to be bold, faithful disciples. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you now into a time of quiet personal confession. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And may the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let us continue in our worship of God by joining and singing a song that talks about the glorious hope and the promise we have in our Lord Jesus.
Far away.
rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. Stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose, over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold Him, the grave could not keep Him from rising again.
Living, He loved me.
As we prepare to hear God's word to us in Scripture and in sermon, let us join together in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Scripture lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son, in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Here ends our scripture lesson for this morning. The text is the first verse. Paul, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. And this is the part I particularly want you to pay attention to. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cave. The next he was caged. The next he was sucked in, washed up, blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. She turned to pick it up. She'd barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. the bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted him with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's not hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over, that's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart. Well, I chuckled when I first read that story, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, we've all had those times when we've felt like poor Chippy, sucked up, washed up, blown over. And that's just part of life, isn't it? We all face those periods in our lives when we feel like sucked in by the circumstances that are beyond our control. And, you know, many of us are feeling like that right now. Washed up by the inner turmoil in our hearts and our lives or our relationships. And blown over by the gale of the circumstances that the world throws at us. Sometimes to the point where we, like this poor little bird, lose our song, lose our joy, and just kind of sit and stare. Now the question is, as we consider that as the people of God, what does our faith offer us in these times of trial and turmoil or trouble when we feel sucked in, washed up, and blown over? Techniques to make ourselves feel better? Sentimental assurance that, you know, ultimately everything's going to be all right? A means of escape? No, we are offered something far greater. We are offered hope. Hope in God, hope in God's presence, hope in our future because of the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Over the last couple weeks, we've been looking at the great salvation which God has revealed to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have seen that this is a salvation, first of all, of unmerited favor. You know, Titus, later on in his letter, talks about, or Paul, in his letter to Titus, later on, talks about that. He says, "At one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and desires. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, not because of how religious we are, Not how faithful we are in going to church or even in doing good things, but because of His mercy. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have salvation in Jesus Christ because He is a gracious and a merciful God." Second, we have seen that this is a great salvation of amazing love. In our lesson we looked at last week, we read these words, "The proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That amazing love, free, undeserved, costly, is our great gain. And through the love demonstrated and wrought on the cross, we have forgiveness and life, and also, which is going to be the focus this morning, we have hope. Our passage for this morning proclaims that hope is the very core of what we have in the gospel. This passage is an introduction of a letter written to Titus to instruct him and to encourage him in his ministry. The gospel had been brought to the island of Crete, and many had believed, and Titus had been given the task of organizing and building up the church and its leadership. But there are hints in this letter that that would not be an easy task. There were apparently many of what Paul described as rebellious people to contend with who were leading some away from true faith. Indeed, the people of the island as a whole had a reputation for being difficult. Paul commented, "Even one of their own prophets said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true." Now, how would you like to hear that at the beginning of a new ministry? And perhaps this is one reason why Paul began with an extended reminder of the purpose and power in which he, and by extension Titus, served the Lord. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promise before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Now notice a couple of things. First, in verse 1, Paul and Titus were called by God to promote the faith among God's chosen, to teach and equip them in the truth that leads to a godly life. That is their calling. That is the calling of pastors and church leaders through the ages. But then we see in verse 3 then that this truth has been brought to light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sandwiched in between is our text for this morning, verse 2. That this faith and this knowledge which lead to salvation and godliness rest upon hope, particularly the hope of eternal life. Hope is at the very center of our great salvation, for hope is the very center of the gospel. You know, the theme of hope is prominent throughout the whole of the Scriptures. And it is at its core a confident trust in the promises of God. Biblical hope is not some vague wish or desire that somehow things might turn out okay, but it is an attitude which trusts in God's presence and in the promises that God has made to his people. The great figures of the Old Testament exhibited hope. Moses was able to lead with hope, for he knew that God was with his people and was leading them, had promised to lead them to a better future. David's Psalms are full of expressions of trust in God, who was his hope. And even when the nation turned away from God and faced judgment and exile, prophets pointed to the hope of a coming time when God would fulfill the promises that he had made to his people. And it was that hope, that expected intervention of God based upon God's promises, which sustained his people for centuries. In the New Testament, hope is focused in the coming of Jesus. Jesus is the one in whom all the promises of God were to be fulfilled. He came and preached and taught and healed, exerted authority over sin and the devil as a sign that that promised time of God's presence, the promised time of God's kingdom had come. And as men and women placed their faith and trust in him, they experienced a hope of a life with God that was described here and elsewhere in the New Testament as eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? Well, in Jewish texts, the term literally means the life of the world to come that was to be bestowed after the resurrection from the dead. But New Testament passages speak of it as a present, not merely a future gift. Yes, it is a future that we will experience when we are raised as Jesus was raised to glory forever. But because Jesus' death and resurrection has inaugurated salvation not simply for the future, but in the present, eternal life is not merely something on the other side of the grave, but it is a new quality of life that we experience now by faith. And so this hope of eternal life is not just a hope for something that will happen in the sweet by and by. It is a hope that we can walk in which we can experience now, day by day. Now, hope of eternal life has a number of different aspects to it, and we're going to touch on just three right now. First, our hope in eternal life. Our hope is the certainty of God's redemption. God has promised that as we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, as we repent and turn to Him, we have the certainty of God's redemption. It is an eternal hope. A hope into a promise that, as Peter writes in his letter, can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. The hope is that no matter what we go through in this life, no matter what its ups and downs, no matter what comes against us, we have a hope, a certain hope of redemption that will never let us go. And that hope of redemption can give us strength and assurance to walk day by day, even amidst the difficulties of this life. There is a hope of the certainty of God's redemption. Second, our eternal hope is the promise of transformation. You see, the promise is not simply that we will someday be with Jesus and stand before Him, as great as that is. But the hope is that not only will we behold the glory of God, but we will be transformed. Romans 8 tells us that we were called and chosen by God that we might be transformed into the likeness of His Son. And we are promised that God is at work making us new here and now. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is making us new, and indeed is using all the things in our lives to make us into the people that God desires us to be. And though this process seems painfully slow in this life, and though it is very difficult sometimes and often painful in itself, the day will come when we will be made complete. Our promise and our hope is that we will be conformed to the image of the glory that is to be revealed. As John writes in his first letter, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And finally, our eternal hope is not only the certainty of God's redemption and the promise of transformation. Our eternal hope is the surety of God's presence. You see, the reality for God's people, no matter what we are going through, no matter what we are walking through, is that we are not alone, but that God is present with us by the Holy Spirit. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence with our heart, within our hearts, to be the as Jesus promised, the comforter, the paraclete, the advocate, the one who walks alongside of us and who dwells within us. And so we live in hope that as dark as our lives may be, as uncertain as the circumstances may seem around us, that we are never alone, but that God is close, very close by His Spirit, who dwells with us and within us. And our hope is based in these three sure promises made manifest in Jesus' death and resurrection, that God's redemption is certain, that the promise of transformation is true, and that God's presence is never-ending. You see, hope is not a feeling that we work up. It is based in the promises of God made manifest in the objective work of God in Jesus Christ. It is a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, Paul wrote, promised before the beginning of time. our hope isn't based upon how we feel. Our hope is not based upon our circumstances. Our hope isn't even based on how faithful we have been on any particular day or in any particular moment. No, as that great hymn proclaims, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Our hope is based in Jesus, in what He has done, in what He has promised, in His presence with us by the Holy Spirit. And what difference does that make? Well, the difference that it makes is that it gives us, as we will sing after the sermon, a solid ground upon which to stand. A hope based in God's promise that nothing can take away. And although that does not mean that our lives will be easy, although that does not mean that we will not go through times of trial, although that does not mean that we will not have times like, you know, Chippy, when we feel, you know, sucked in, blown out, and all a mess, we have the security of hope upon which we can stand. The first question of the Heidelberg Catechism expresses that very well. The question is this: what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is this: my only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Our comfort, our hope, our future are secure because they are based in the promise and in the work of Jesus. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a prisoner in Russia. He was on a program of hard labor and slow starvation. And after months and months of toil and trial, he felt like giving up. He felt that his life could never make a difference and that there was no longer any purpose of living. And so he sat down on a bench, knowing that when he was spotted by a guard, he would be ordered back to work. And when he failed to respond, the guard would beat him to death. As he sat waiting, head down, he felt a presence. Slowly he lifted his eyes, and next to him sat an old man with a wrinkled, utterly expressionless face. Hunched over, the old man drew a stick through the sand at Solzhenitsyn's feet, deliberately tracing out the sign of the cross. As Solzhenitsyn stared at the rough outline, his entire perspective shifted. Yet in that moment he knew that the hope of all mankind was represented by that simple cross, and through its power anything was possible. He slowly got up, picked up his shovel, and went to work, not knowing that his writings on truth and on freedom and on faith would one day inflame the whole world. He continued in hope because of what God has promised in Jesus Christ. Sisters and brothers, we have a great salvation. in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A salvation of unmerited favor, a salvation of amazing love, and a salvation of eternal hope. Let us, during these times of trial and uncertainty, stand firm in the promises of God. Stand firm in the knowledge of His presence, that we might not only be able to continue and to be faithful ourselves, but that we might be used by God to make a difference in the midst of this broken and hurting world, that we might live in such a way that exhibits and demonstrates this kind of hope that can touch the lives of those around us. And now to our great God and His Son, Jesus Christ, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, all blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
We indeed have a true and living hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, a solid rock upon which we can stand, and also a solid rock that gives us the basis upon which we can pray. So let us join together as God's people in prayer. Almighty God, who taught us to pray not only for ourselves, but for people everywhere, hear us as we pray for others in the name of Jesus Christ. Inspire the whole church with your power, unity, and peace. Grant that all who trust in you may obey your word and live together in your love. And that your church may be a sign of your kingdom in the midst of a broken and hurting world. Lead all nations in the way of justice and goodwill. Direct those who govern, that they may rule fairly, maintain order and justice, uphold those in need, and defend oppressed people. that this world may know more of your rule and may know true peace. Give grace to all who proclaim the gospel through word and sacrament, through deeds of service and acts of mercy, that by their teaching and example they may reveal your love to all people, that more and more may come to know Jesus. Comfort and relieve, O Lord, all who are in trouble, sorrow, poverty, sickness, grief, especially those known to us whom we name before you now in silence. Heal them in body, mind, circumstance, and spirit, working in them by your grace wonders beyond all they may dream or hope. Lord our God, accept the sincere prayers of your people. In your great mercy, look with compassion on us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of our souls. To you we give glory, O blessed Trinity, now and forever. And we join together with God's people in praying the prayer that Jesus taught for the coming of his kingdom, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Chains are released, I can sing, I am free.
Remember who you are. You are a people of hope. You have been called by God by His amazing grace. You have been redeemed by Jesus in wonderful love. And you have been given a hope and a future that nothing, nothing can take away. Remember who you are and walk in hope. Trusting in hope not only to sustain you during these difficult times, but trusting in the hope that even in this, God is at work in through Christ in you, not only to perfect you, but to use you to make a difference in the lives of those in your circle. Remember who you are. Go forth from this time of worship, walking in hope. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.